Blog Talk Radio.
Our scripture tonight is coming from Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 42. Mark, New Testament, 9 and 42. And it reads, "And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eyes cause you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, for their worms does not die, and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with each other." Be at peace with each other. Let's not direct each other the wrong way. Remember, whatever it is, the worst thing that's coming out of our mouths tonight, let's make sure tomorrow we may have messed up today. Maybe we didn't get it all right today. Maybe some of the things that we explained on that we spoke on last evening, maybe you didn't accomplish all of those things today. Hopefully there were some things that you were able to check off of your list. Like beginning, we're just starting your day by asking God to come and live through you today. Or just waking up just thanking him before you get carried away into your daily life, your daily routine. But hopefully you were able to look at some of the things and hold your tongue. Not just say some of the things that would cut others down or would mess up their spirits, would kill their innermost behavior, the emotional part of them, would exhibit the great behavior that would help them on their day today, help them as they pack a home to their families and pass it on to them. Hopefully it wasn't something that you said that destroyed all of that. The Bible tells us we don't want to throw ourselves into hell, whether with one hand, two hands, or one foot or two feet, one eye to two eyes. Because it's better. He knows what the plans he has for you. He knows how you're created. You're not built for hell. It's better for you to come into the kingdom that he has prepared for you. It's better for you. So I invite you all to just sit back and relax. And learn from the word tonight. Let's get a little bit more in our hearts, building up our heart. We're pumping up our heart, getting a good heart rate. Hallelujah. So all of the intercessors out there, I ask you to turn up the fire, turn up the fire, turn up the fire of prayer. Let's go into prayer for each and every one of each of us. Amen. All of those around you that you saw doing wrong today, turn up the fire, intercessors. That means you're just interceding for prayer for somebody. Even the ones that won't even stop and pray today and thank God today, we as intercessors just there. We need to pray for everyone and thank God for all of the things that he's done. We can't even mention them all, but we just say thank you, Jesus, for all of your blessings in all of our lives, all around creation. Amen? Amen. And that way you can be at peace with yourself and others. We're just talking about the levels of faith in a believer's life. We talked about your blessings and even when you're going through things that are inadequate, God will still use you to teach you something about the inadequacy to bring you forth shining like pure gold. And we talked about that it also is a blessing for us to be able to rely on our all-sufficient God. Because none of us have that sufficiency. We all fall short of the glory of the Lord. But it's a blessing. It's an honor. So why aren't you taking that opportunity to just rely on our all-sufficient God? Amen? Amen. So as we go into our study tonight, let's go ahead and invite the Holy Spirit to come and walk with us. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we just say thank you, Lord Jesus. You're just so awesome, and you just keep proving yourself in our lives. Dear Father, and I know that it's just not me, that all of these miraculous things is just happening, and just, oh, every day I just see something new, that you're just opening up doors, and my heart is just overflowing tonight as I say thank you. As I say thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Now I invite you to come and just push down and press down and move everything around to put more room in our hearts to receive more. We want more, Jesus. We want more. We invite you to come and live inside of us. Just put your word inside of us and lock it in there, dear Father. Hallelujah. And so we can look more like you, so we can speak more like you. Hallelujah. So we invite you now to just take charge. May we decrease and you increase. Your ever-loving power, just spread it all over us right now. Your healing, just deliver it through your word right now. The non-believers, change their hearts right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All around the world, all of those that are sick and shut in right now, may someone who's listening to the word be able to touch their lips this prayer, to Father, to give them that release that they've been waiting on. Oh, we just thank you, Father. We thank you, thank you, thank you. We lay down all of our burdens here to cross. We ask you to forgive us for all of our sins. Thank you, Jesus. As we forgive those who stand against us. Thank you, dear Father, for all of those who are without light or water or anything to thank your Father. Dear Father, be there and let them know that you are here with us. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 I just thank you, Lord Jesus. He's so powerful. You know, we have to stop and just recognize on a daily basis just how powerful it is and how blessed we are. And we spoke on a couple of episodes before about, you know, sometimes we take for granted things. And we don't recognize that someone would love to be in our shoes. As an example, on my lunch break today, I ran out and I went to pay my light bill. And I walked into the place because I normally would do it just over, you know, the phone, and I did have my account number with me, so I said, I got it from a desk and said, well, there's a location close to me. Let me go and run into that location and make payment. And that I did. And as I walk into this, you know, large place, it is people everywhere. Just sitting everywhere, and I'm like, oh, I hope I don't have to wait in this line, Lord. And I go up to the desk, and it said, take a number, you know. And I'm like, so I need to take a number? And she said, yeah, you're trying to speak to someone about helping you on your light bill or making payment arrangements on your light bill. Then, yes, you have to take a number. And I said, well, what if I just want to make payment? And she said, well, you will go down there to those windows. Well, I went down there, and there was only two people at those windows. But it was only that could make payments right now. But when I looked back up to this side, ladies and gentlemen, it was 50-plus people sitting there trying to get some kind of payment arrangement. They were not able to get their lights paid right there. They needed arrangements to be made. And, you know, it was just a blessing. I said a little prayer over each and every one of them in my mind, and I just started to thank Jesus. I just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That is just a blessing that someone in that line wanted to be where I am. You know, I could have looked at the thing and looked and saw my bill was pretty healthy. But praise the Lord, I was able to pay that healthy bill. And even to pay that healthy bill, it was a couple of things that I didn't even realize money was in different places, that I just started pulling out money, and it just kept coming. It just kept coming until it got to what it needed to be to pay that bill. It's just, praise be the name of the Lord. It's just, blows my mind. He's just so beautiful. I
later on, I was out by at work, and I just looked up in the sky. And what did I ever see was this huge orange glow, perfect circle, just sitting in the sky. It looked like it's just sitting down where we could touch it. And I just started to just magnify it and just glorifying him before his beauty. And I made sure that I talked to him and tell him, oh, you're outdoing yourself. This is just beautiful. Oh, it was just beautiful. I'm telling you, the God that we serve is alive, a living God. He's a God that just loves brightening our horizon. We can never get used to all of his glory. We haven't even saw the most of it. And it just blows my mind with some of the colors. And sometimes early in the morning, if I go out and look at the sky, it'd be streaks of red and it'd be orange. And it's just beautiful. I mean, words cannot express this painting that sits before me. And I am privileged enough, we are privileged enough to see this. That's awesome. You know, I love it when I go to different places in the South, like Tennessee, and in certain areas of Tennessee, that at nighttime, you look up at the sky and it's just full of stars. All my goodness, just full of stars. All that you can see is just stars, and against the blackness of the sky, and it's just like gorgeous. And sometimes we in the city, we don't get to see that. So we forget about that. And I think about the kids and the people who really have never lived in an area that you don't see the stars like that. And I talked to some of the people at work, and they said, I never saw a blanket of stars in the sky. I know, because you don't see that here in San Antonio, in Dallas, and Houston. But the summer is even in the city of Nashville. You can still see the stars. Wow, it's a remarkable thing. It's a beautiful thing. And every now and then we need to just take our time to just, oh, look at God's beauty. I'll tell you another thing, too, that I really like is in Tennessee, they have these huge trees. They seem like they go forever, and they're just as wide as they are tall. And here in Texas, we don't really see a lot of trees like that. We have trees, but our trees is not unclimbable, you know? Our trees is not to the point that makes you say, oh, it's just really something. So I just wanted to share that with you just to say that God, just taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He fills your heart. He fills your spirit with his beauty. With his beauty. And it's just awesome. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I also want to say a happy belated birthday to my sister-in-law, Stephanie Harlow, yesterday. God bless you, Stephanie. A happy belated birthday to you. Well, definitely wanted to give you your shout-out. You deserve it. Amen. Eric, my beautiful brother, Richie. God bless. So we're looking around us and, you know, going back a little bit about the people waiting in line to actually make their payments or bills, you know, some people have to have faith. Because in my heart, I can't wait to the day when I can just walk in a situation like that and start just go to the families and say, I got you. You know what? I got you. Merry Christmas. I got you. And I was just telling God today, I just want to be used like that. I want to be at that point when I can just go up and just pass out a bill to the ones that let me pay your bill for you. Amen. The level of faith, I'm believing for that. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. The way that he gives it to me now to give, I want it more. And the more that we keep on staying in his word, learning from him, he will provide us more to give to his people. Hallelujah. I look forward to the day that I can just go and buy that sister and her family a brand new home. You know, nothing for you to do. You just keep up the taxes after that. And if you can't do the taxes for the first year or two, whatever God says, let me know. I just can't wait. I get so much joy of just giving. It can just be a little thing in the grocery store now, you know, that I come into somebody and I see them that they may or may not be. Sometimes they may be feeling for change or a child they see, and I said, I got their whole bill. Or it just may be that they have the money. But I tell them just, hey, God wants me to take care of that for you. You know, so I'm not doing those things. But it's going to grow, I tell you. I believe, I have faith that it is going to grow, and it's going to grow for me helping people in those grocery lines and different things like that. That it's going to be houses and lands and just all kinds of different things. But God is here to provide all of our needs, all of our needs. Hallelujah. And so, you know, just like Jesus, how do we extend complete trust for people like Abraham? And his strong confidence in God, that was very mighty, you know. He also urges us. Sometimes we have some people that we categorize ourselves. Some are more stronger in different areas than others. Some are strong in confidence, and some are strong in trust. But the bottom thing is, we also have some Christians, I'm speaking of, that are weak in their conviction to believe all over the word. You know, many of us fall into that last category. And then we get back up, but we fall again. And the next situation that happens to us, we fall again. And so we're weak in our conviction to believe all over the word. You know, but we have to remember that the same thing, the same prayers, the same way that God brought you out of the situation before, whatever your situation is, we shouldn't wrestle with doubt. We shouldn't wrestle with worry about everything over and over again. If we believe it, we've got to start really believing it. And sometimes, check yourself. When you find yourself doubting, when you find yourself worrying, don't be afraid to check yourself. And say, well, you know what, I really thought, I believed in that passage, that he will provide all of our needs. I really, really thought, as I sing that song, that I really believed it, I find myself wearing. So I got a little bit more prayer, a little bit more opportunities in that area that I need to continue to work on. Amen? That's the way that we're going to get stronger. That's the way that we're going to get there. You know, sometimes we get all bent out of shape because we don't want no one else to tell us about our flaws. Even when the preachers and the teachers try to tell us about our flaws, we will get upset and we'll leave the church that God has anointed you to be at. We will leave the church because we don't want to hear what they have to say. We will get upset that I dare he say something about me. You know, I dare that he bring that up. And you know, many times I really have to tell you that it's just the Lord trying to convict your spirit, because it's many times that we as preachers and teachers are speaking from what God has given us to say. And I may not even know you or know your situation, but when God says something and it touches on your situation, I immediately hear people will confront me and say, well, you know, who told you about it? Who are you? How did you know about my situation? Who told you about my situation? Ma'am, sir, I don't know of your situation. What is your situation? I have to remind them, God knows your situation. Instead of trying to figure out the whole service of who it is that I know that could have told me about this or that, you're wasting time. You should be sitting there saying, this is of God. See, when you pray and the things that you pray for, you should be able to go into the house of the Lord, or you should be able to speak to the woman or the man of God, and the same word that you've been praying for, God has put that same word in our mouths just for you. So when he's trying to alter you, when he's trying to direct you in which pathway is the right pathway, don't get out of shape at the deliverer of the word. Listen to the word. When it comes across that pulpit, you should get excited. That's the same thing that I've been praying about. Now, God has my shepherd speaking about this to give me more insight about it. It's not to embarrass you. Most people may not even know your situation. until you start mumbling and telling everybody on the pew about it. Amen? So it's not to embarrass you, to set you up, but it is to set you free. It is to deliver you, get you going in the right pathway. Listen to the word of God. He's trying to answer your prayers. Amen? Amen. We've got to stop being so sensitive and just surrendering to everything that the enemy tells us. I think this week is that's what we definitely have been feeling in our spirit, that the enemy is just destroying some of us. He's destroyed our time that we're supposed to be worshiping. He's destroyed us that we're not getting anything done at work because it's always a little bit of this and a little bit of that in the midst of going on. Just taking up your valuable time. Stop surrendering. Stop bowing down to it. Forget about it. Listen to the word of God. You pay all this money and you go to conferences and you buy books that you don't read and tapes that you don't listen to. But it's so proud just to say that I have this person's tape or this person's book. I spoke on the phone personally with this person or that person. But until you start putting it out there, you have all the material there. And start opening it up. Dive deep into it so you can really see what's going on. This is your answer to your prayers. These are the answers to your prayers. You know, 5 times in the book of Matthew, Jesus himself pointed out about examples of little faith. If you have your Bibles before you, you can go ahead and look in the book of Matthew. And even if you start at the first one, we'll look at Matthew 6 and 30. And then for the sake of time, I'm just going to give the scriptures and we'll have to move on, okay? But we'll start out with the first one, 6 and 30. Amen. Amen. And verse 30 says, so if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not do much more for you and clothe you, O you of little faith? See, in the book of Matthew, Jesus points out examples of little faith. So first, he mentioned people who felt that their resources were insufficient. They had been complaining and worrying. And he's trying to get the point over, why would you worry about such things that you have no control over? But you surrendered yourself to me, correctly. We've asked God to come and live inside of us, to be our Lord, to be our Savior. Then why are we stuck worrying about the little thing? Like he said, if he clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, then you can't trust him to clothe you, to feed you, to give you what it is that you need. Don't worry. So that was one of the first examples I wanted to show you about. And then let's move right on. But first of all, you know, like them, we can become anxious. Little bitty things will make you anxious. And you have to fight against anxiety. I just wanted to mention that. You really have to fight against anxiety because it will come up on you, the best of us, until the least of us. It is affecting so many people. You must learn to fight against it. So when you feel yourself getting ready to go into that mode, whatever it is, you need to start praying. You need to start reading your word. You need to call up your sister in Christ or your brother in Christ. You need to do something to fight. Don't just sit there and let Christ, his goodness, just not be used. And definitely don't give over your joy to the enemy. Hallelujah. I don't care how much junk you in. Just let God turn your junk into joy. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Sometimes I think you may say that you're at the bottom of the barrel, you know.
He has a treasure inside of you. And let him pull all of that trash away from you and show you your treasures. We've got to build up our faith in order to see these things. Too little time, or, you know, I'm running out of time. I'm never going to finish that paper. Oh, believe me, they get finished. When you say, I'm never going to get that report turned in on time, believe me, God will make a way that it gets in on time, or the time will change for you if that need be, however he wants it to be. When you feel like you're getting anxious about things like that, you don't have enough money, your resources aren't matching up. He will supply over and over into your bosom. Then there was the terrible storm. You know, Jesus slept through it. But the disciples were afraid. They were so afraid. Chapter 8:23-26. Just read about that. Their constant fears shows, again, lack of trust. You got Jesus right here on the boat with you. Don't you think that he can calm the waves? Don't you think, I don't care how rough these waves may get, they can't destroy you, they can't harm you? Hallelujah, it's just the shadow of death. You're not dying. And then next, Peter allowed doubt to take over. Jesus commanded, he started to walk on water, but then he sank. When what? Unbelief set in. Unbelief set in. Walk on water to me. Come on out here, Jesus said. Wow. And he just put his eyes on God, on Jesus, and he just started to walk. And then his flesh took over, and the enemy started talking in his mind and said, look at you. You're not supposed to walk on water. And immediately he took his eyes off of Jesus. He took his eyes off of the prize. He took his eyes off of the kingdom. And so, of course, he sank. Lack of trust. Lack of trust. Lack of unbelief. Putting your trust in yourself. Then there's another incident that involved the disciples' failure to reach a correct conclusion about Jesus' teaching and his actions. Now, that's over in chapter 16:5-12. And I really encourage you to take a moment and just read through that. Read through that. 16:5-12. And then next, in the fifth example that I want to show you tonight, the disciples who previously had cast out demons, you know, it came about a time that they were unable to do so in a certain situation. You've really got to take notice of it. That's in chapter 17. You don't even have to look it up. I'm giving it for you. You can go straight to it. Chapter 17 and 14-21. And I give it to you because, you know, I know sometimes it's hard to, you know, it's in the Bible, and you're not for sure where it's at. I really want you to try to find it as easily as possible. Get to it, start reading it over again so you can apply it to your life. But in a certain situation, they went, that was puzzled. They went back to Jesus like, what happened? You know, why were we able to do this? And the demons whooped up on them pretty good because their faith was so small. You see, they lacked the divine power to carry out the harder task. And sometimes we find ourselves in that situation. Little everyday little things we make and even do. I could be settled with, you know, just trying to just do, just blessing people in the way that I am now. And it's a big deal. But I want a bigger deal. I want to move farther in my faith. I want my level of faith to elevate. It's not so much about me. Yeah, I like nice things and going nice places and things like that. But really and truly, I don't know, he just has something in my heart that I could give up a lot of things just to see other people happy. I just don't like seeing struggle.
And I like to teach you how to get to a place of comfort. I don't like seeing people struggle. But because of a lot of faith, but because of the lack of divine power, we're trying to do things on our own. We have the wrong people in our lives. We don't have the right people that is building up the team, and we're just walking through life and can't understand why we keep on losing. And we keep, and you just seeing that you never stop. Look at the ones that surround you. Every time you lose at something, who's around you? Every time something doesn't work out, well, you can look around and see who is around you. Certain situations, certain people could be the ones that are holding you back. Holding you back. If you want your level of faith to increase, you've got to work for it. You've got to do something. You've got to work to build relationships. You've got to build a relationship with the Lord. You've got to listen to Him. And that's what we're here for. I thank you, Jesus, for all of the ones that is growing right along with me. And I receive your email, and you tell me about your glorious times, that you're moving up, what you, this time last year, where you were at compared to now. Praise be the name of the Lord. And I mean, some people have been in church and doing this thing for 20 and 30 years, but have now... God is showing something different. Showing something truly different. That they're able to forgive. They're able to truly love their brother. Because they're looking at the word. They're breaking the word down. And they're speaking with God. And they're allowing Him to come and explain the word and reveal the truth. Some people have just been sitting at the wrong leadership for so long. That you just got dull. You're just dull. You may be fancy every Sunday, but you're just dull on the inside. It's nothing going on. You get up, you do the same old thing. You're afraid to reach out and do anything else. You don't trust anyone. You don't feel like you have the resources to help anyone. You feel like you're insignificant. That's not the Spirit of God. God is power. God has divine power. And right now, if you're living like that, you are lacking. You're slacking. You don't have it. But it's yours. You have that resource. You just have to reach out and take advantage of it. God wants you to take advantage of it. Hallelujah. So in our closing tonight, in order to grow stronger spiritually, I remind us that we must take our eyes off of our circumstances, just like Peter. Forget about how much water that you're walking on. And just look at the Lord. Just look at the Lord. I know Christmas is coming up, and I remind you, don't get so carried away in what you're going to get. Remember, it's about God gave us His Son. And all the gifts that we give is because God is a giver, and we're just representing, trying to help someone. And I do listen to some of the conversations that are here go on at work, and we're just so busy of just giving to our ones that are in our home, over-giving to our kids, $300 and $400 cell phones every year, and these kids don't even get past a grade. These kids talk back to you. They don't even give you respect. And we're just trying to load up our list of all the things that we're going to do for them. But we don't even take out time to think about spending a little time in a nursing home. Just going out and visiting someone in a nursing home. Just have you and your family there. Make some gifts. Go buy gifts, whatever it is. Get some slippers, get a robe, go out and sing a song, just read something to them, just go out and watch their favorite show together on their TV. Just go do something to let them know, Merry Christmas. Jesus loves you. Merry Christmas. God gave His only begotten Son even for you. You are not forgotten. You are not forgotten. You are important. God has something special inside of you. Just take out some time and go to the soup kitchen. Just help serve just one meal. Take your whole family with you. Let them serve somebody. Bring out the true meaning of Christmas. Take your eyes off of just your circumstances of me getting my kids everything, my spouse everything. And look to the Lord and ask him, how do you want me to celebrate this Christmas that will honor you? It will bring somebody closer to you. And then trust his character and believe in his promises. And once we do this, we can overcome anxiety. We can overcome our selfishness. We can overcome our envy, our pride. And we can start to develop a greater faith, a greater level of faith. The question tonight is, on whom or on what are your eyes fixed this Christmas? What are you concentrating on this Christmas? Who are you going to really help this Christmas? Not to just go into debt with a lot of toy bills and electronic bills and make all the merchants richer, but no, who are you going to help from your heart? Who else are you helping? Who are you helping that you don't know, maybe I should say? Have you reached out to St. Jude's Hospital there in Memphis where they don't charge for any of the kids there if they can't pay? They're suffering with different forms of cancer. No one is turned away. Do you know it takes money to run that kind of establishment? You got a few extra dollars? Why don't you set it up on your list that you're going to be Christmas for them all year into 2014? Just send $20 a month to them. What about one of the programs that help all of the ones that are in disaster's need? To feed the kids in Haiti. To feed the kids right in your local area. Set up with the food bank that you're going to come once a month, or biweekly, however you can go, that you're going to dedicate, that you're going to be there to serve food at that time once a month or that time once a week, whatever you can do. What God is asking from each and one of us is to do something. Sometimes we have to come out of the pump and go do something. Go do something for Christ. Truly edify the level that you're at by elevating your faith. All the glory to God. It moves you out of the equation. Give all the glory to God. You will see that anxiety and just being anxious feeling start to dwindle and just fade away. That's what God is. He's love. He's love. And if you haven't met Jesus Christ or invited him to come and just be a part of your life and just come and live inside of you, I invite you to just take a moment and just repeat these words after me. God, I know that you are my creator. I know that you have more plans for me than I could ever I know that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And I know that he died and gave his life for me to cover my sins in order that I could come back to you who is sinless, in order that I can enjoy the kingdom that you have gone ahead and prepared for me. I ask you now just to forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my sins, dear God. And I invite you, Jesus, to come and live inside of me. Make me a new creature in Christ. Be my Lord and my Savior. Not just for now, but forever and ever. And I thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayers, answering my prayers, and never leaving me. Amen. Amen. Oh, well, that's just that simple. I really get excited. I really do. I get excited just when someone is led to the Lord.
You know, I don't like any walking or moving around when we're doing the invitation to the Lord because it's such a serious thing. It changes your life. Every day of your life is going to be changed from here on out. And I invite you to just get in touch with the ministry. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can also reach me by leaving a message here to Blog Talk Radio. It's important because I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for your family, for your situation. I want to pray that you're led to a Bible-teaching church with a good shepherd that God has destined just for you. And then I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray with me. I want you to learn from me what God has bestowed in me. I want to learn from you of your talents that God has in you. I want to watch your talents as they grow, as your level of faith increases. My sister, my brother. So until the next time, I encourage you, really try to be the best you that you can be today. Hold on to your tongue. And just watch God's magical glory all around you as he goes out of his way to bless you, to just show you that, hey, I love you. He's trying to show his terms of endearment towards you. You do that, I'll do the same. So why don't we meet here again tomorrow night and we'll see how it went, okay? All right, well, God bless you, and I truly love you. This is your host, Minister Von Dumas. Good night.